Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. Today we want to finish our series on desperate. We're in Luke chapter 21. And then with one finger, stay there, and then take another finger and go to Acts chapter 3, both in the New Testament, right-hand side of your Bible, both right there at the beginning. And so we're going to Luke 21, Acts chapter 3, and today we're going to finish up our series called Desperate. We've been looking at this thought, desperate times call for desperate measures, meaning that there's going to be times in life when the norm doesn't cut it. Just doing what we normally do is not going to cut it if we're going to make it through this situation. If we're going to make it through this particular day, this particular challenge, or this particular time in our life when life is really pressing in and there's a real push against everything that's good in your life, it's going to take more than just some what we would consider to be everyday activities. We're going to have to step outside of that. And so we're going to have to pull out all the stops and we're going to have to go all in if we're going to make it through this time, this particular situation. Amen. And so in Luke chapter 21, Jesus is talking and he's saying that there's going to be a time when there's going to be an incredible amount of unrest. And that there's going to be a great push against the church, against God's will in the earth. What Satan wants to do is he wants to thwart God's will. Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why? So that he can stop God's will in the earth. Amen. And so there's going to be a great push, Jesus said, in these times that we're living in. There's a great push. Can you see the unrest in the earth today? And the push against the church. I hope it's not true, but they're claiming that in New York, now you can have an abortion right up until the moment of birth. They're talking about Virginia trying to do the same thing. I mean, we're living in troubled times. These aren't normal days. That's what I'm trying to say. We're not living in normal days. There's this push against the church. Why? To try to thwart God's will. To try to stop God's will. What did Jesus say? He said, when we pray, here's how we are to pray. He says, as it is in heaven, so be it on the earth. In other words, your will is being accomplished in heaven, Father. And so let that happen in the earth. Amen. Sometimes that's going to take a desperate, if you will, or a drastic measure to be able to accomplish that. We simply call it living by faith. There's people that would look at us and they just don't understand what we're doing. But what we're doing is we're just living by faith. And so, but here's the cool thing about it. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 18, in spite of the attack that's going to be pushing against us and the days that we're living, he said, not a hair of your head, talking about his children, will perish. He said, but by standing firm, we'll gain true life. What does standing firm mean? How many's ever played football? You ever watch football? All right, we got a few more on that one. How many could care less? All right, we got some on that one too. How many would just go with me so that this thing will work better? All right, I got everybody on that one. Amen. In football, if you are going to maintain, if you're going to stand firm in your position, you have to not only meet with force, the force that's coming against you, but you have to push back. In other words, you have to meet it with more force. In order to push back, to stand firm. Jesus said that when we do that, when Satan's coming against us, stand firm. When the enemy is trying to destroy our families, no, stand firm. When we're getting discouraged and he's trying to, there again, thwart God's will in our lives, ultimately in the earth. He said, if you'll stand firm, meaning that in Christ, you have the ability to not only stand against him, but push him back and out of that area of your life. But it's only with Jesus. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we're standing up against and meeting with the appropriate force the attack of the enemy that's coming against us. Why? So that we can gain true life and bring somebody with us. So because of the drastic times, or the desperate times, if you will, the day that we live in, there's going to be times, because our mission here is to bring people to life in Christ, that we are going to have to stand firm in our faith and operate under the power of the Holy Spirit, pushing back Satan and his effects in people's lives, not just our own. And so today I want to look at this subject of desperate times call for game changers. Desperate times call for game changers. We every so often play this game called hand and foot. And so we really enjoy playing it. It's a pretty fun game. You know, we have fun doing it and all that, and it's cool. But here's the deal. In order to play hand and foot, you need to have one deck of cards per person, and then you have to have at least one, maybe two, besides that. And so you got four people playing, you're going to need at least six decks of cards. That's a lot of cards. And so when you get done a round, what has to happen is you got to shuffle all them stinking cards. Well, Kelly does it, but the rest of us do. Yeah. And so inevitably, once all the cards finally get shuffled, somebody makes the decision, I've shuffled enough, and they put their pile in there, and then we put all the piles together. Inevitably, what'll happen is someone at times will take a part of one deck and they'll move it and put it on the other deck. Or they'll rearrange everything, or you know, they just kind of mix everything all up again. And one of us will say, oh, game changer. Oh, game changer. Everything just changed. Even though we have no idea, because there again, the cards are faced down, and we have no idea the cards that we're going to get. No idea. But here's what we do know, is the cards that we were going to get, we're not now. It changed the outcome. Pretty interesting, huh? Just that simple little thing. And so even though it's a game, and even though we're just having fun, what really is happening is that we're changing the outcome. And I can guarantee you this, that in life, as we're pushing through and as we're just living life, going to work, doing our thing, just trying to stay out of trouble and mind our own business, in real life, there's going to be times when we get dealt things that we never thought we would ever face in our lives. I never thought that I would preach my father's funeral. I figured we'd all be in heaven by this time. Never would have ever imagined that I would preach her dad's funeral. Never would have imagined some of the things that we've done. And yet, here we are. Dealt something never, ever would have imagined. You ever been there before? All of a sudden, you're in the middle of something and you're thinking, man, I just never planned for this. I never really entered my mind that I would be in this place. And we meet people like that all the time. And in those times, those people that we meet, they need help. They're looking for, they're hoping for, they're even at times praying for a different outcome. What do they want? They want a game changer. They want someone that can come in and change things up for the good. That's what God's called us to do. Someone that's willing to change things from bad to good. Someone that's willing to just jump down in the middle of our mess and say, it's okay, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to push through with you. And we're going to see a good outcome to this thing. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been there before? And so, because Jesus is in us, and he's willing to work through us, here's what happens, is we bring opportunity for change. So when you're thinking about this game changer thing, I want you to think about this thought, is that as we're going through life, Jesus wants to work through us and help us to give people opportunity to change. And so in Acts chapter 3, we see this opportunity that we're talking about. In verse 1, the Bible says this, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. In other words, they were going to church. And it was at 3 in the afternoon. Can you imagine that? Some days that'd be all right. You can sleep in as late as you stinking want, huh? How many would be willing to do that for at least one Sunday a month? Maybe on every fifth Sunday, we'll meet at 3. And we'll take a nap. Yeah. Amen. So at 3 in the afternoon, they're headed to church. And there's a crippled man from birth who was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day. Why? To beg. Now, here's a guy who I think we'd all agree was in a pretty bad situation. A pretty bad way. I mean, the guy's crippled, can't work. You know, they didn't have welfare systems back then. They didn't have disability compensations and so on like we do nowadays. And so there wasn't any type of system back then that could help. And so this guy, because of his situation, he had to beg from people just so that he could eat. And so just like yesterday, just like the day before that, and the day before that, and the month before that, and the year before that, they carried him to this place, probably literally for years, so that he could beg, so that he could provide for himself, make a living. But here's the deal. On this particular day, he had absolutely no idea that an opportunity for change was coming down his road. And so the Bible says that on this particular day, there again, take yourself back. We know the situation. We know the story from the beginning to the end. But I want you just to stop and just to take it one step at a time. Imagine yourself walking into the temple that day. And you see the guy that you've seen for years sitting there begging. Everybody knows he's crippled. Everybody knows the situation. And all of a sudden, these two guys are standing in front of you. And everything, this scene, you just kind of walk up on. And so when this guy sees Peter and John, the Bible says that he asked them for money because that's why he was there. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And you know what they said? Hey, boy, look at me. Look at us. Look at us. So they got his attention, the Bible says. And so when they gave him his attention, here's what happened. The Bible says that he was expecting to get something from them. In other words, he was expecting to get from them what everyone else had always given him. Some sort of money, maybe clothes, maybe food, a loaf of bread, something that they were going to give to him that he had just received for so many years, what he always got. And this is a very good point to remember as we're ministering and as we're trying to help people along in life. They're again facing desperate times. The days that we live in are desperate times. The enemy that we're fighting is real. And so what we want to remember is that this isn't just a normal day, but God has called us here there again to be a game changer, to change the outcome. Amen. And so here's this guy. He's just expecting to get from them what he's always got. And so when we are going about life, it's a good thing to remember that when we come into someone who has need, whether it's a physical need or a financial need, an emotional need, of course, ultimately the spiritual need that we all have, oftentimes they'll expect from you what they always get from everybody else. After all, that's how they've got to this point. It's what sustained them for years. You see, but here's the deal. Write this down. We are never sent to someone to maintain the status quo. We are sent there to give them opportunity to change. They may or may not take it, but that's not up to us. We have been sent by God Himself to give opportunity for change. Amen. We're sent there to bring them life. So when this fella gave them his attention, they were given a window of opportunity to change the game. Yes. Shuffle the cards, move things around just a little bit. Of course, they were up to the challenge. How did they do it? First of all, they changed the dynamics. A dynamic is simply forces, if you will, that will affect the outcome of a situation, environment. So on those types of things are things that affect the outcome of a situation. And so if he was going to get a change, if this crippled man was going to get a change, then a change is what needed to be offered. As simple as that sounds, it is profound. Because if we just continue to do what we've always done and expect something to be different on the outcome, then it's not going to work. There's got to be change. We're at the time of the year where people make New Year's resolutions so that they can have a change. What happens? Oftentimes we just fall back into what we have always been doing. Yet we still, it's funny, expect a change. We should call them New Year's intentions. Forget the rest. My intention is to, even though I know I won't. Yeah. But here's what happened is they had this window of opportunity. And so to change the game for this crippled man, how do they do it? They changed the dynamics. Look at verse 6. Peter said to him, "Silver or gold I don't have." In other words, I'm not going to offer you what you've always gotten. I'm not going to offer you what you're used to getting. Listen to this. Nor am I going to give you what you think you may need. Here's what he said, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter and John looked at him and said, here's what we're going to do, is we're going to offer you Jesus. And guess what? That's going to be a game changer. That's going to change everything if you'll take the opportunity that's being given to you right now. Oftentimes, when we're helping people out of a desperate situation, there again, we can offer them food and we can help pay the rent and we've helped pay people's light bills and we've helped with Christmas dinners and presents for their family. And all those things are wonderful and that's what we should do. But if we look at the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 10, here's what that is. That's being a good neighbor. And we all should be a good neighbor without question. But that's only part of the mix. You see, that's only part of the reason as to why you're there. And here's why, is because the stuff that they've always been getting is only going to take them so far. Those natural needs are only going to sustain them so far, but that's not why we're there. We're there to be a game changer. And there again, don't take me wrong, because we're supposed to be a good neighbor, but we've been called to be more than a good neighbor. There again, we're called to be a game changer. And so look at what Jesus said to the woman at the well. Perfect example. He said this, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." There's the problem. It'll meet the need in the moment. Long term, you're going to have to come back. Why are drugs so powerful? Why do people literally give up their families, sell their bodies to get the next fix? Because the last one did the trick in the moment. Now I need more. Jesus said, if you drink from this water, you'll thirst again. But I've got something that you can drink from and never thirst again. Imagine what he's offering her. Imagine the opportunity that he's offering her. Something more than just remedying her natural needs that will only sustain you but won't change you. Why are we there? Why did Jesus come from heaven and from the throne room down into the earth and put on man and lived a sinless life and he was literally crucified on a cross? Why did he do that? Because it changed the game. It changed the game. He could provide for us all these things which he has. Food, clothing, the ability to work and to gain and to have a beautiful home for your family. All those things are good, but it's not enough. It's not going to change you for the good. But Jesus said, whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give will become a spring of water welling up into eternal life. You see, when you bring Jesus into the situation, you change the dynamics. You literally change those underlying forces that are in play, that are bringing one outcome or another. You're changing all of those things so that all of a sudden there's a hope for tomorrow when there wasn't before. Why? Because now Jesus is in the mix. Instead of death reigning in our relationships and in our finances and in our families and in our minds, and so on, and so on, and so on, then Christ is injected into them, bringing life into their relationships, life into their finances and families and into their minds and so on. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You talk about a game changer. That's Jesus. Peter said to the crippled man, I don't have what you're used to getting, but don't despair. Look at verse 6. What I do have, I give to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Then look at what Peter does. This guy's got some guts, I'm telling you right now. The Bible says that he took him by the right hand and he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Check this out. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Wow. And he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Yeah. You see, when they brought Jesus into the situation, it changed the dynamics. But next thing you know, for this gentleman, literally in a moment, it changed his journey. Now he's on a new path. Though scripture doesn't tell us, I'm pretty sure that when Peter said to the fella, I don't have any money, the beggar probably thought in his mind, well, gee, thanks for nothing. Why? Because he was expecting what he'd always gotten to sustain him in his current situation. That's not what Jesus came to the earth to do. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about being a game changer, shuffling the deck to the point to where when it's all said and done, you're the winner. And but I guarantee that when everything was all said and done, though he didn't get what he always had gotten, the Bible says he went with them. Stop a minute and think about that. He went with them. Not being carried by anybody. Not having to depend upon anybody. But on his own, he went with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Why is it important to give opportunity to people to change? Proverbs chapter 14 and 12 says this: there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Question: have you ever made a decision that looked right at the time, only you find out that the journey of that decision took you farther away from the good, farther away from God? You ever been there before? I know I have. It looked right. Everything was cool. Everything lined up. I mean, man alive, this is the deal of the century. And yet, at the end of that journey, we look around. How did I get here? One decision at a time. Just trying to make it through the day. You see, unfortunately, every day people are faced with choices that may look right, and yet if taken, will lead them away from God and true life. You see, when you introduce Jesus to someone, you're giving them an opportunity for a much different journey than without him. Think about where you would be today if it had not been for Jesus. Think about the situations that you may be in today if it had not been for Jesus. Sure, there's still challenges and there's still obstacles and we're still in a battle. But if you can't imagine where your family would be if it had not been for Jesus in your life. And so when we give people opportunity to take a different journey in their path, the challenges will be the same. But on this journey, Jesus will equip them to succeed. We hear it all the time, but I think we hear it so much that it's kind of, we maybe have become a little bit desensitized to the truth of and to the heart of God. But in Jeremiah 29:11, listen, I mean, I want you just to stop and listen to this as if you was in deep despair and you had only heard this for the very first time. I know the plans that I have for you, says God, the creator of everything. King of all kings, Lord of all lords, all power, all authority, says to you, I know the plans that I have for you, and they are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Imagine if everybody just could have that truth right there. God has a plan for you and will not hurt you. Plans to give you a hope. And if you mean I can get out of this, Oh yeah, because he's not only going to give you hope for tomorrow, he's going to help you get there because he has a future for you. And check this out. He says, you'll call upon me and you'll come and you'll pray to me and I will listen. You cast your care upon me because I care for you. Unlike anyone else can. We don't even have the capacity to care one for another. As much as we love each other, as much as I love Jill, I cannot even come close to the compassion that God has for her. I'm not even in the same universe as God is. And he says, I'll listen. He says, and if you seek me, and you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. You see, this was God's plan for the crippled man all along. And it came into being when he met Jesus. You see, we are to give people opportunity for change. How do we do that? When we offer them Jesus, then all of a sudden the dynamics change. Things begin to change. Things begin to look up. Why? Because now we're on a different journey. Now life is being injected. Hope is being injected. Healing is being injected into those places where we have hurt for so long. I know what I've talked to people who have given their heart to the Lord, and they say, I am just amazed at how I've hurt for so long, and now I'm just feeling better, and things are looking better. I'm just amazed at how my outlook has changed simply because Jesus is in my life. Amen. And so I'm confident that God will bring you into someone's life this week who thinks that the answer may be money or food or a light bill. I would encourage you to be that good neighbor and to help them in those areas. But I would also challenge you not to stop there. Don't just stop at those natural needs. But I want you to remember that while you have their attention, they are desperately needing you to step out in faith. People are crying every day, but they're looking to other things, but they are just begging for someone who will step out in faith and step down into the ditch and minister to them where they're at. And while you have their attention, remember, God didn't send you there just to maintain the status quo, but he sent you there to be the game changer in their lives. And so in that moment, step up to the plate and change the game by giving them Jesus. Give them the true answer. Give them hope for tomorrow. I guarantee they may not get it in the moment, but there'll come a day when they'll go leaping and walking into the temple and they'll be praising God and we can rejoice with them together.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.